What's up, Eagle Country? Thank you so much for tuning in to another edition of Crunch Time. It is presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. Go online to schedule your next appointment or learn more at OrthoSensi.com. That is OrthoSensi.com. I am your host, Double T, Travis there. Big show lined up for you here on this August 23rd as the high school football season got underway this past Friday. We're certainly going to talk a little high school football. We're also going to be welcoming in the South Dearborn Knights football team. Coach Ram Ballard right outside the door right now, so we're waiting him to come in with some of his star players. In the meantime, we're going to see who's making headlines out there in Eagle Country, as we always do, to start off the show. And I want to talk a little boys and girls soccer real quick, because there are seven teams here locally that are ranked in the top 20 in both girls and boys soccer. It's been a little bit of a rough start for some of the girls teams that are ranked to start the season. Lawrenceburg, number 14 in 2A on the girls side. They did knock off Oldenburg Academy earlier in the year, a 9-0 win, but did suffer a 2-0 loss to East Central. They're at Rising Sun tomorrow, which is not too shabby of a team. South Dearborn, they're ranked 19th in girls soccer. They're 0-1-1 to start the season, a 3-3 draw to kick off the season against St. Henry, 2-0 loss to Connor, and they will play East Central on Thursday, so a very tough schedule for the Lady Knights starting out the season. And then the aforementioned Oldenburg Academy Lady Twisters, number 13 in 1A, lost that opener to Lawrenceburg and also fell 1-0 to Cardinal Ritter. So again, a little tough start to the season for some of those ranked girls soccer teams. On the boys side of thing, Lawrenceburg cracking the top 20 this week, coming in at number 17 as they're now 2-0 on the season. 9-0 win over Jacksonville to start it all off, a highly ranked team in 1A, and then a 6-1 win over Connersville. They're home against Rising Sun tonight, which has a dangerous pair. Kendall Montgomery, Dylan Martin have been playing very, very well so far for the Shiners. But Lawrenceburg getting goals from multiple guys. Asher Gentry, Pablo Cunningham, Jason Cosby, Xander Everidge leading the way for the Tigers. Batesville's been impressive thus far, number 20 in Class 2A. They're 4-0 with wins over Milan, Union County, Rushville, and Franklin County. They have gone a combined 31-0 against those four teams. Eli Pearson with 10 goals this year. And South Dearborn, not ranked in boys soccer, but might be right outside the top 20, 3-0 on the season. They've defeated Holmes, Greensburg, and Rushville. They'll play Holy Cross tonight. That game got moved to the grass field due to the heat index. But Dana Lewis, my goodness, 10 goals thus far this season. And then 1A, Jacksonville still number 6. In the rankings with Oldenburg Academy at number 19. Want to talk a little high school football here before we bring the South Dearborn Knights on. Milan, East Central, South Dearborn, Franklin County, Batesville, all with opening week wins in high school football. We had the East Central Lawrenceburg game for you on Friday. Didn't turn out to be as competitive as many thought it might be. The Tigers started strong with their two opening possessions. They moved the ball well into Trojans territory, but that EC defense, they were very, very good in this game. Forcing turnover on downs twice there in the first quarter to stop the Tigers' offense from scoring. EC's offense stumbling out of the gate. They fumbled on their second play from scrimmage, followed that with a three and out, but a sack fumble caused by Ethan Grewe. That really kind of turned this game around. Carson Kelling would score the opening touchdown. He would score another time. And then the Tigers did bounce back. They had an answer in the first half. A really, really nice play from Garrett Yoon, rolling to his right, throwing all the way back across the field, hitting Luke Pierce for a 41-yard touchdown. But once Eli Aston got himself involved in this game, it was all Trojans. He set up the next two scoring drives with punt and kickoff returns, and actually scored two touchdowns to finish off a tremendous performance for the Trojans, winning that game 34-6. And one quick note as well on the East Central Trojans: Sam Ringer played a great game at safety, but the following day, you might have saw this on social media, really, really cool. He was running some things up in the press box for the JV game, couldn't get the national anthem to get played on the CD, so Sam decided that he was just going to sing it himself over the PA, and we got to know Sam a couple weeks ago right here on this show. Very outgoing kid, bright kid, and he can sing a little bit too. I didn't know that he had that in his arsenal, but pretty cool if you can see that on Twitter. Go check it out. Milan, really nice showing defensively this past Friday, shutting out Rushville 18-0. You're going to see this Milan team run the ball a little bit more this year. Riley Johnson, 139 yards on the ground and a touchdown. Young Braden Roerig in his first start at quarterback, 3 for 7, 56 yards, had a touchdown and an INT. Kind of easing his way into the starting role there, but a nice win for Milan. Franklin County, 44, Newcastle, 34. Brady Moorhead, one of the performers of the week, 164 yards passing, 2 TDs through the air. He ran the ball 33 times for 167 yards and another touchdown. He got to play as a starter a little bit as a freshman due to an injury that season, so he certainly has some experience there. And of course, with Bridger Bolos and Schatzel back, they got some explosive players on offense. They knock off Newcastle, and then Batesville was a 35-13 win over Indian Creek. Travis Lecker and Bryson Bonnell putting on a show in that game. Lecker, 186 yards through the air, 2 touchdowns, also ran the ball for 90 yards and 2 more touchdowns, and Bonnell had 146 yards receiving with 2 of those touchdowns, so a nice performance from Batesville. In Ohio, real quick, Taylor, they defeated Green On 38-17, while Harrison dropped a tough game to Wyoming 26-21, but congratulations to David Dransman, the head coach of Taylor, picking up his first varsity win. And speaking of Harrison, we will see them this Friday out in St. Leon. It is the renewal of the Battle of I-74. East Central hosting Harrison should be a fun one, especially considering they didn't get to play last year, so maybe even some more excitement around this game on Friday. 7:10 pregame, 7:30 kickoff right here on your hometown radio station. So without further ado, we got some gentlemen waiting out in the wings. It is the South Dearborn Knights football team. We did not talk about their game on Friday because we're going to let them do that themselves. I know we got some happy campers coming in to the studio here this evening. Coach Ballard, what's up, man? Glad you can be on the show tonight.
Hey, appreciate it, Double T. It's always good to get the opportunity to talk about South Dearborn Knights football.
Yeah, and you guys had a big win on Friday. We're going to talk about that more here in just a second, but we want the guys to introduce themselves. So if you guys just kind of go around the horn here, give us your name, what position you play, and what year you are in school. Go ahead, guys.
My name's Sean Sommer, and I'm a middle linebacker running back, and my graduation year is 2022.
All right, around the horn we go.
My name is CJ Rogers. I'm a running back, and my graduation year is 2022.
Isaiah Otto, I'm a wide receiver and DB, and I'm a senior.
I'm Drew Probst. I play corner, and I'm a senior.
All right, very good. And are these your captains here, Coach?
They are.
All right. Yep, so
they're selected by our the rest of our team. We had a fantastic summer, and to culminate the summer, we did a team-wide vote, which we always do, and these four gentlemen stood out and taking the reins and running with it pretty well so far.
All right. Well, before we get too deep into this season, I do want to talk to each of the players about what it means to them to be a captain. We've been asking this to the other football teams that have been coming in. You get voted in as a captain by your teammates, your classmates. So if all of you can kind of just say what that means to you, that'd be awesome to hear.
Being a leader to me means not having a showing weakness to other people. Being completely almost perfect.
Okay.
It's nice to know that little younger kids look up to you. You got to be a role model.
Very good. CJ?
I like knowing that kids can trust me and come talk to me if I need somebody to talk to or something like that.
All right. And Isaiah?
It's like being a leader because you're the head of the team and everybody looks up to you.
And you kind of been waiting in the wings to get in this leadership role, so I'm sure you're excited about the rest of this season. We're certainly going to talk about that as the show rolls on. So I want to go back to Coach real quick. I want to put a bow. I know you've already kind of put 2020 on the back burner, but just put a little bow on that season. I know you graduated some really good senior players. Replacing them is going to be somewhat difficult this year, but put a little bow on the 2020 season, then we'll move forward to this particular season.
Absolutely. You know, 2020 last year obviously was a challenge for everybody across the state, probably across the country, with the COVID-19 and all the crazy stuff that had to go on, and reaching out to your leaders and getting your upperclassmen to basically carry your team, because the coaches weren't allowed, you know, we weren't allowed to have any contact with them, weren't allowed to meet with them. So, you know, we got to trust that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing when we're not around. So, you know, that was a challenge. And, you know, going into last year, we, you know, just the limited fans and just the whole stuff that went along with all that. And was just challenging. So, you know, we lost. We ended up losing a complete contest, not even getting to play against Greensburg last year, week five. You know, half of our team was out the week before against Batesville. So it was a struggle, you know. But, you know, our leaders picked us up, and we had a pretty strong outing. You know, we felt we dropped some games that we felt we should have won. Of course, every coach says that, I'm sure. But, you know, overall, you know, we graduated a stellar group of seniors, and got a couple of them playing, battling right now. They're actually in the middle of summer camp, and probably wonder why in the heck they decided to go do it. But I told them last night that, you know, make it through this week and everything's going to be good. But, you know, that's something we try to instill in our players, just to continue to fight the battle, continue to grind, continue to keep that KFI going. And you know, sometimes you just got to reach down and pull it out. But we did it. You know, like I said, 2020 was challenging, but you know, we made it through, and we're definitely excited to get this season underway, I can tell you that.
Absolutely, and I do want to talk briefly about the off season. Did it feel a little bit normal, more normal to you guys this time around? Was it a good part of preparation? Because last year you didn't have,
definitely we were
that preparation.
We
time.
Were definitely more prepared going in this week. You know, going into Seymour than we were last year, and it, you know, nothing against any of our players last year or the coaches. It's just it was just the circumstances we were in. You know, you don't get to see your kids for 6 weeks, and then you got 10 days to cram everything in. It's like, okay, it's, you know, so it's tough. But you know, like I said, we were able to get things going last year. But, you know, like this year, just having that full off season, I'm sure these guys will tell you the same thing. Being able to get to Camp Atterbury, getting experience that opportunity again, wasn't quite the same as it was a couple years ago, but you know, it was still great. You know, the National Guard and Garrett Geiser and Eric Marath, those guys do a fantastic job to allow us to come up there, and then we ended up going able to go to a team camp this year to Taylor University. So I tell you, I take a lot of that with Traders Point. We were able to go up there with another school, and really 3 days of just us. You know, I'm sure they had their phones and they could call home, talk to mom and dad or whoever, but, you know, they were with us, and that was pretty cool. So,
do you guys want to weigh in on some of the off-season stuff, the Camp Atterbury or being up at Taylor? I'm sure that was a good bonding experience for you guys as well.
Yeah, Taylor was pretty brutal.
Yeah, going up to Taylor was fun because we really got a lot of team bonding in, along with a lot of good practices. Like, we were sore whenever practice wasn't off. We were sure sleeping a lot, but when we weren't, like, we pranked Coach Ballard. We wrapped all his stuff in saran wrap, and we had a good time.
I guess you got to have a little fun there on the side. Was it nice to just be able to focus on football just 100% across the board?
Yeah, of course, but also, like, talking to kids that I don't think I would have talked to during the season if we wouldn't have went to that camp, because I just had that time to just make conversation with those people.
And what about the Camp Atterbury? What were some of the things that you guys were put through there? I know Coach just alluded to it wasn't maybe the same as the last time you went, but what kind of things did you have to do?
Well, this year's Atterbury was more of like leadership and just who's strong mentally, and the year before was who's strong physically, who's okay, got it, basically.
Well, I do believe that the mental part is a big part of football as well, and I know your coaches are probably preaching to you about you know, limiting penalties and things of that. Sometimes that can be mental, so I think that's good that you guys went through that. Let's talk about your first game of the season, because it ended up being a really nice look on the scoreboard. I know it wasn't maybe as much of a blowout early on, but you guys pulled away in that second half. Coach, give us a little thoughts about what you saw from your team week one against Seymour.
Yeah, you know, just like any other team and coach, you know, you prepare all week, and then you know, we go out and we're jacked up, and we're trying to get fired up, and next thing you know, we see them house the opening kickoff. And I just remember saying it very calmly, well, that didn't work. And you know, but, you know, I tell you what, hats off to our kids, hats off to these guys here and our leaders that we have in our program, because I will tell you, and you know, this is no knock on past teams, but you know, we've not been known to be able to bounce back like that, and we've struggled once we've gotten down. But you know, our kids bounce back. CJ, I think the first play of the game on offense took it for 9-10 yards. on a great run, and then got some more yards. Then we hit Reese with a big bomb over top. And the next thing, you know, we're right back in the game. Kids are excited. Had a couple mishaps. You know, I'm not taking anything away from Seymour. You know, Coach Moore does a hell of a job up there, and he's trying to get his program going. But you know what? Really, they had 7 points. You know, they housed a kickoff. We had a blown coverage. They gave him a 70-yard pass, and then we made a decision, and I will take 100% of the responsibility that we weren't strong enough in our call, that we went for it. We were on the 7-yard lines, and for some reason, we had our offensive guys decide they were going to try to get the first down instead of punting it. And we gave them the ball back there on the 10-yard line. So, you know, you take away those 3 plays, you know, they score 7 points. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's 26 on the board. So once we made some adjustments, Coach Kraft and his defensive staff and Coach Higgins and his offensive staff did a fantastic job at half. And then we just came out and pretty much just dominated the entire second half.
I was going to add on to that. I think you'd probably rather have some of those little mistakes happen in game one than down the stretch, maybe.
100%. That's why I told some other people when they talked to me. And we got the first game jitters. Get that first half out of the way, and then you know we came. We played like we feel like we can play. You know, every week.
So when you guys go into the locker room, still a tight game, what was kind of the message being told to you guys? Because obviously whatever was said, you guys came out in the second half and kind of put it on them a little bit.
Well, we know we weren't playing to our full potential, and we know that it was there. We just had to bring it out. We all nervous the first half, but after that, we pretty much locked it.
Kind of settled down a little bit, Sean?
Between us four and John Kraft, I think that our defense really stepped it up by the words he had to say and the couple tweaks he gave to our defense during halftime really gave us the motivation and the courage to go out there and keep them at zero in the second half.
And CJ, you were a big part of this game, really sparking things offensively, had a lot of big runs. What do you attribute that to? You got to give some credit to the offensive lineup there opening the holes for you, right?
I feel like our line, they've been putting in the work like really hard practice, and I think it just paid off in the game time.
And what about your guys' quarterback, Logan Tease? Made some big throws there. Isaiah, I know you play a little wide receiver. Yeah. So what have you seen from Logan this year? He obviously had a big game against Seymour.
Yeah, he's been working hard. They had a quarterback battle this summer, and he ended up winning the job. And he wants to win. He's there to compete.
Right.
Yeah.
And, Coach, when we talked about Logan last year going into his sophomore season, you made some parallels saying that he could potentially reach an Adam Dixon-type level of player who was, you know, an All-State-type player. And Logan, coming out of the gate, what did you think of his play?
Yeah, Logan had a heck of a night Friday night. You know, and as Isaiah alluded to, we had a quarterback battle going all summer, and it wasn't just a sane battle. I mean, I will be honest with you, and we can talk about it now, but I can tell you up till Thursday night, coaches, we still didn't know what was going to happen. You know, we ended up giving the nod to Logan just from his, you know, leadership and whatnot, and, you know, obviously that was the right decision. He did a fantastic job. He's got to continue to work hard. You know, does he have the potential to get to an Adam Dixon's status? Absolutely. He's going to have to put a lot of work in, you know, as most of them will. But he can get there. He's got a strong arm, you know, and he's not afraid to run the ball. So we're looking for big things out of him. We're going to keep pounding, keep working, and see what happens with him.
Do you guys feel like you have a maybe more dynamic offense this season between running and passing the ball? Obviously, CJ with the big game. Reese played awesome at wide receiver. So, I don't know. You guys go up against him in practice. What are you seeing, Sean?
I think our O-line has a more leadership with Evan Meek being on there, even though it could be hard-headed at times. Mm-hmm. I think he keeps the line together. And I think between having CJ, Isaiah, and Logan to be behind them, and just have the confidence that they'll make their plays and O-line will get their blocks, that it's just a lot more sound offense this year.
Drew, you got anything to add to that?
Well, we're usually pounding them most of the week, trying to get them ready.
Here we go.
And it's pretty competitive in practice. We keep it pretty competitive in practice. We come together at the end.
I'll just say 7-on-7, I think offense won a lot more than defense.
All right, I was going to get that. There had to be a rebuttal from the offense there just to see what was going on. But
for those listeners out there that don't know, obviously we have two, you know, our captains are two offensive captains, two defensive captains, and
you know, we're a two platoon football program, so we have a lot of battles throughout the days and throughout the practices.
I'm sure it's fun.
It gets a little chippy every once in a while, but you know, as Drew and Isaiah alluded, you know, we come back together at the end of the day, and you know, hey, at the end of the day, we're all knights and
we're all family.
That's what we're going to do.
It's the whole iron sharpens iron saying. You guys are just making each other better. I love it. And awesome performance there in game one. And one more thing about defense, you forced four turnovers, and Sean, you got a little pick six there. How'd that feel?
Well, I came in on an open window read, and ball kind of fell in my hands, so I had to take off. You know what I'm saying? But
well, and I think he had one to make up for since Corbin Cassidy came across three or four plays before that, and Sean decided to give him a little extra blocking. Unfortunately, Cassidy's is called back, but Sean did a heck of a job with that ball. I kidded him when he came off. I said, "Hey, did you?" Were you surprised when you looked down and saw the ball in your hand? I mean, he literally threw it right in his stomach, and it's like, that was a heck of a catch. So,
I love it. So you guys are going to move forward and focus on Madison this week. You got your first four at home, so hopefully a little home cooking for the Knights to get off to a really strong start this season.
Yeah, you know, we can't be more pleased to be able to stay at home. You know, that's it. Backman Field, you know, can't thank Jerry Backman enough and his family for making that dream a reality, and the projects and the improvements that are going on at South Dearborn right now are just absolutely incredible. Things we've never thought we'd see before, and they're the improvements are just great. I mean, our track just got done. Four or five blue tracks in the country. So, you know, and here it is in Aurora, Indiana, South Dearborn High School, and it's just fantastic. So, yeah, we were fortunate enough to stay at home. Hopefully we got a nice project in the works. I know it's being discussed right now to continue to make the improvements that are needed and, you know, continue to grow our not only our football program, but all of our extracurriculars across the board. So, yeah, it's nice. Staying at home is going to be fun, but, you know, we still got Madison rolling in. You know, they're going to be ready to go, too. So,
and I know it's still early in the week with Madison coming up on Friday, but is there any particular challenges that you're expecting to face against this Cubs team coming up on Friday?
Yeah, I tell you what, Coach Wilson does a heck of a job down there. You know, he's in a rebuilding process for the last couple of years, and, you know, I know Leroy pretty well, and, you know, they went down. We actually, myself and a couple – about seven coaches piled in a van Saturday night because they played down in Mercer County, which is about 2.5 hours away on the other side of Lexington. We went down and watched them. Just, you know, it's, obviously we're going to get the film, but we wanted to see them in person, see what their, you know, their mannerisms were like. And they got some talent. You know, they create a few challenges for us, especially defensive wise. You know, they got a quarterback that can really scramble and really run, but I've got all the confidence in the world in Coach Kraft and his staff, Coach Otto, Coach Luthy, Coach Malott, Coach Walden, that they will be they'll be ready to go. And, you know, I know Sean and Drew over here are going to be making sure they're biting at the bit. They'll be ready to get things. But, you know, like I said, they got some challenges. And then, you know, off defensive-wise, you know, they run something very similar to us. So, it's something we've seen, we're comfortable with. But, you know, I know Coach Higgins, Coach Barker, Coach Babcock, Coach Larkin, Coach Bond, and Coach Milish, Coach Tees are going to get things ready to go. And, you know, we'll be ready to go come Friday.
All right. For the defensive guys, are you saying this week, no way, the team's getting 26 on us? Are you going to be playing with a little extra chip on your shoulder after that first game?
It was a little slap in the face for us to have 26 on the board on our turf, and we hope it won't happen again this week.
It won't happen again this
week.
There
you go, because I know you guys pride yourself on that defensive side of the ball, so I figure that's going to be a big point of emphasis this week to hold Madison down to a low number there on the scoreboard. I want to talk to you guys about some more of your personnel. I know we have talked about you four individuals and some of the other star players that played really well in week one, but I want to know about a couple guys maybe in your position group or on your side of the ball that you're expecting to step up into a bigger role this year, or somebody that could be a breakout star for South Dearborn.
There's not enough I can say about number 45, Landon Herzner. He gives everything he's got, 110% every single play. And it's not just him either. All our safeties, all our cornerbacks. Corbin Cassidy broke his hand the second kickoff and had a pick six. If that ain't KFI, I don't know what is.
Yeah, we had a sophomore, Blake Legale, coming off a broken hand. He should be back this week, but he stepped up a lot in the last couple of weeks.
I'll talk about senior tight end Justin McGraw. His first year starting varsity, and he had a hell of a game Friday. I think 8 catches for like 85 yards. And
very good. And CJ, you got anybody to add there?
I've got my backup, CJ Evans. He's out this week, but I think he's going to step up and be my really good backup.
All right.
Break.
Coach, you got a couple of names you can add to that list to play.
You know, I always the and I got to get a kick out of listening to not only just the sports announcers, radio people, the internet guys, and even players. It's, you hear all about the guys that are always in the headlines, but I'm going to tell you, the guys getting it done are the dudes up front. And you know, we got a hell of a line this year. Coach Larkin and Coach Bond, Coach Miles have done a fantastic job getting those guys to gel. Evan Meek, Eli Gabbard, Blake Pruce is a sophomore who's doesn't play like a sophomore at all. Big Kemp, Ben Raines. Ben Raines had got a high ankle sprain running out of the tunnel. We're going to have to widen the band crew a little bit because got a high ankle sprain and played the entire first half. A lot of guts and determination there, and you know, those guys are just you can't say enough about them. Noah Seaver came out, was a late addition, and has just done a fantastic job. And as Sean alluded, those, you know, Landon, I tell you what, that kid is just, he is, his motor is 150 miles an hour all the time, and he gets it done. You know, you got little Kemp, who has actually come over on the offensive side of the ball, is going to play in some offensive for us. Cooper Barker, those guys, you know, Billy Schulte, those front guys, man, you just can't say enough about them because they're the ones keeping Sean clean and allows him to slide in.
Letting you run, huh?
Yep, let him get them tackles. And so, you know, all around, you know, we're a team game, and we're a team program that these guys probably get aggravated with me a little bit because I'm not a big individual accolades guy. So, you know, we really look for that team concept, and preaching that KFI to these guys is just something we live by.
Well, I'm going to ask about team goals, and I know it's pretty much the same for all teams across the board here. I'm guessing, you know, conference championship sectional is kind of where you want to start this season.
Oh, I think your first goal always has to be a conference championship. You know, it's something that we've been striving for. We've never had one at South Dearborn. If we have, it's been a long, long time. Too long. So, you know, obviously that's the first team goal that we have. You know, winning season is going to help get that, you know, and then down into the sectionals. And we definitely want to be able to – we definitely want to compete for a sectional year in and year out. And we hope that that's the way their program's going. And, you know, these guys are – you know, our motto this year is be the change. And, you know, a lot of people say, what's that mean? It's like, you know, just be the change. Be that be the one that's going to get us over the hump. You know, we've talked about grit. We've talked about being one team. We've talked about being one heartbeat. Now it's time to be the change. Be the ones that's going to actually get us there. So,
love it. All right. So we just got a couple minutes left here in the broadcast, and what I like to do is pull out a little bowl games here. We got some just random questions for you guys to answer to get to know you a little bit more here. So don't be shy. Step up there, and we'll do a couple of these for the kids, and then we'll sign off. All right. Who wants to go? Sean, what you got there?
A place I'd most want to travel to. Well, I've been to a good amount of places, but I want to see the mountains. I want to go to either Colorado or just somewhere where it's different terrain, something that looks just unseen.
I can vouch for Colorado. It's beautiful. Hope you get to go there one day. Drew, what do you got?
I got dream job. I want to be like a special investigator, police officer.
Sweet.
Yeah.
All right, that'd be cool. Isaiah, what do you got?
Favorite home-cooked meal, and that is definitely a sirloin steak.
All right. That's
potatoes and mac and cheese on the side.
All right. Just tell me when dinner is. I'll be over. CJ, what you got?
I got a favorite weight room exercise. Mine's got to be bench. That's just what I'm best at.
What's your max right now?
My max is like 335, 340.
Dang. All right. One more question for everybody.
He wanted to say that one.
Go ahead, Sean.
Hidden talent. If you don't have one, what is some? My hidden talent, I couldn't use my right arm for a while, so I learned how to brush my teeth with the left.
There you go. I love it. Drew.
Mine's my pregame ritual. I try to be a jokester with the boys, hanging out, listening to music, dancing around.
Keep it loose in the locker room.
Some popsicles here and there.
Oh, there you go, Isaiah.
Superpower you'd like to have, definitely see the future. Sports betting, I'd be a millionaire.
I think somebody seen Back to the Future. What's up, CJ?
Mine's favorite pizza topping. I'm about to say cheese, not just plain cheese.
Got to have cheese on there. All right, all good answers, and we appreciate you guys coming through, Coach.
I know this is radio, but if we had some video, we have a hair contest goes on every year. I don't know if you guys know that, but
you don't want me to take my hair down.
I think Sean and Zeta are in the running for the best hairdo. For our team.
Well, we
got to get a picture for social media.
He just wants some of your hair out there.
Yeah, I definitely am not in that competition, but I'll give you my vote off the air as we get a picture of the South Dearborn Knights. 1-0 on the season. They will host Madison on Friday, and we will see you guys the following week when you host Batesville. Eagle Country 99.3 will be in the house to see their get their first look at the South Dearborn Knights. Appreciate you coming through tonight, Coach, and good luck the rest of the season.
Absolutely. Appreciate you having us on, Double T, and thank you for everything you do to promote our great game.
I appreciate that so very much, and like I said, we are looking forward to being out in Aurora at South Dearborn Week 3 as they host Batesville. But if you are a South Dearborn fan, make sure you're supporting these gentlemen on Friday as they look to go 2-0 against Madison. This has been another edition of Crunch Time presented by OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries here in Lawrenceburg and throughout the tri-state. Go to orthocincy.com for more info. We'll do this again next week with the South Dearborn Boys Soccer Program. It's Crunch Time on Eagle Country.